I want to bring you up to where we were at last week. Anybody got any comments real quick?
Had a good first class.
It was awesome. Yeah. I loved it. I loved it. There's something we'll be talking about. I'm not going to do it today. I'm just going to mention it. Dave had someone read the scripture, and this is where come rightly dividing the word of truth comes into, as we rightly divide the rightly divide. And because the pre-prison epistles, everything in those pre-prison epistles are not written directly to you. And that's important that you know. You are not of Abraham's seed. And I'm going to leave it like that because I'm going to wait till Richard gets here because he called me about that. Do what? So I'm going to address that again at a later day, thoroughly. But we are not in the promises of Abraham. So, with that said, I want you to go to the house of Israel and know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So Paul was preaching to who? Israel. The house of Judah and Israel. That's what it says. The whole house, all 12 tribes are there. They're not scattered at this point in time. Day of Pentecost, Jewish holiday, Acts chapter 2, we're going to be talking about that. But, now here's what, in verse 37, when they heard this, when they heard what? That you crucified your Messiah, who is Lord in Christ, they were pricked in their heart, they were hurt, they were stymied, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were scared to death. Then Peter said unto them in verse 38, repent, change your mind about who this man was, and be baptized, identified is what that is, identified every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at it. Repent, change your mind about who this man was. He is the Messiah. Be baptized, and he's talking about in water. Be baptized, be identified, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Absolutely not. For the remission of sins, which hasn't happened yet. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We don't receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When we're saved, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we are sealed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. There ain't no doubt about it. We don't receive it. That's why ain't nobody legally, when I say legally, I'm talking about actually speaking godly terms when they speaking in tongues. That's of Satan and Satan only. You don't speak in tongues? Go right ahead. That's satanic. Whether you believe it or you don't. Ain't nobody going to lay hands on nobody in this room here and heal them. God can heal them through prayer. Their prayer and your prayer. Because there's false people in this world that we can pray for, and God will hear us. He sure will. But I just wanted you to see that. Now, what's baptism? It's the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That's what it is. Baptism does not remit sins in itself. Who does? God will at the second coming. And it will be their atonement. And we're going to get there. Now, the point is, every believer in the Pentecostal church, and it was at Pentecost, so we can call it the Pentecostal church, but I call it the church of Jerusalem because there was not a new church started at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Does everyone agree with that? If you don't, we need to go over it. Because the church started in Matthew 16, verse 18, and Jesus Christ is that rock, and it is not Peter, the little stone. And upon this rock I'll build my church. You can check it out. There was not a church, and I'm going to say it again, there was not a church that started in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. There was a church that was added to, and we're going to look at that. Now, what did those people believe in Acts chapter 2? They believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, didn't they? That's what they did. And they were identified with Him by what? Water. Baptism.
He was Lord.
Yeah. Lord in Christ. He was their Messiah. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ, he felt unworthy. But he had to do it Because Christ needed to have been identified with the nation Israel. So he was baptized into water. He was made, the scripture says, manifest. He appeared to Israel. Now, these Israelites, they're called on to identify themselves with their Messiah in the same way, and that's by water baptism. For the remission of sins, not for salvation and atonement, for the remission of sins. Basically, now their identity is, I'm going to write it up here. Their identity is in Christ. You say, well, I'm in Christ. I didn't say that. Their identity is in Christ. All, the word all, encompassing. All believers are in Christ. Never forget that. But in Christ is not synonymous with in the body of Christ. You know, I believe it's in Thessalonians where it said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that's where my good buddy Clint makes a mistake. The fact of it is, those in Christ, in the body of Christ, not those that was prior to in Christ. Because they're in Christ, they're believers. That's what it is. Those people, I'm going to draw the cross here. I can't let a day slip by without that. Christ was crucified, buried. Is this burning your brains yet? Resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification to for forgiveness of sins, to clear you of your sins. And we know, while Peter was down here preaching, and I'm going to put just Peter because we know the apostles was here, then prophecy was put on hold here. The prophetic clock of God stopped. It didn't end. It stopped. It will continue again. This is the mystery period that was in here. This is the body of Christ right here. What I'm saying is these people were in Christ. They were believers. They believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that He was both Lord and Christ, their Messiah, the King. But they're not in here. They're not in Christ. You're going to see where they can lose their salvation. As Ananias and Sapphira did, we can't. We're sealed. Ain't no way you can lose it. Once you're saved, it's a done deal. I don't care if somebody doesn't believe in eternal security. That does not make the Bible wrong just because you don't believe it. You need to start studying your Word. Now, but the body started with the Apostle Paul. But those people right here, that Peter preached to in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and so forth. They are in Christ, but they're not here in the body. But they're all believers. You've got two sets of believers here now. One's the little flock, the other's the body of Christ.
So those that are dead in Christ will rise first. Right?
That's this bunch here.
Right.
Yeah, even though they're in Christ, these won't. We're going to get to that. Yeah, that's going to be at the second coming. But yes. Yeah. Yes, but that's a good point. But they're not in the body. Nobody, don't care who says it, nobody. Ruckman can say it, I don't care. Everybody can say it, they're wrong. What makes me right? The King James Bible. It ain't me that's right. That's my final authority. Nobody in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost is in the body of Christ. Just not going to happen. Why do I know that? Because Paul is the first person saved into the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 9. So how can Peter, James, and John and all those guys be in the body? They can't be. Now, they're in Christ. And I'm going to emphasize it again. But not in the body of Christ. What do they believe? They believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the King. That's what they do. And their Messiah. That's what they're doing. They've been identified in water baptism with their Messiah. Looking forward to who? Looking forward to this king and the kingdom. Matter of fact, and I just got to do this. They weren't looking forward to the body of Christ because it was kept secret. It's not an Old Testament prophecy. So Peter and them, yeah, they were looking forward to their king. They were looking forward because of Daniel. One of the places is talking about the tribulation, the 7 years. And then they were looking for that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. They were looking forward to. They had no clue when things were put on hold, or prophecy was, right here. This period. Right there. That's the body of Christ. They didn't know that. So they were identified, they were believers in it. Their sins are not yet blotted out, are they? No, ours are. And we're going to take a look at it. They are not yet complete in Christ. You can't be complete until you have your atonement. You just can't. How about going over there and just checking it out? Go over to Colossians, would you? Chapter 2. Dave touched on this. Verse 10. Let's read it. You know, Colossians 2 is about the body of Christ.
Where are you going, Byron?
Colossians 2:10. Who wrote the book of Colossians? Apostle Paul. Where do you find your gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of your salvation? In Romans 3:5. Who wrote all those books? The Apostle Paul did. Some pre-prison epistles, some prison epistles. But we're going to read in Colossians 2:10. They, Peter's bunch, the little flock, and I'll refer to it either way, their sins were not blotted out. They will be. We're going to see that. Hopefully we'll get to it. But in Colossians 2:10, hold on to that. Go over to, let me find it. Romans chapter 5, I believe. What is it, 11? It is 11. Romans 5:11. I just told you the little flock, Peter's bunch and so forth, is not in the body of Christ. They don't have their sins atoned for right now. But here's the thing, in Romans chapter 5, verse 11, which the Apostle Paul wrote, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The action word is now. We got it. The moment you trust the Lord Jesus and what He did at the cross, that He was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead for your justification, to make you at peace with God, and you're no longer an enemy, enmity, hatred with God. You are at peace with God. You have love, joy, and peace with the Father through Jesus Christ. So, if that's the case, and it is, you have your atonement, but they're not yet complete, the little flock. But they're believers, and you're believers. There's two different programs going on here. This is His earthly program, His earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. This is His heavenly ministry that's taking place right here. Separate the two, and the Bible just turns into simplistic words that's wonderful, that you can understand. You know, the natural man, it says in first, what is it, first? Let me read it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I guess. Let's go there. Hold on to Colossians. Don't never move from there yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's start in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is a little s. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Because when the Holy Spirit sets up residence in your body, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. It tabernacles in you. In verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom, that's the little spirit, teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is a spiritual book. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, which is spiritual. And you can start understanding the words on these pages here that God put in this book by the Holy Spirit that was penned by sinful men. Verse 14, as Carl said. But the natural man, that's somebody that's lost. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit can discern for you, because he's dwelling in you, and you can understand what's written on the pages of this book. Get saved so you can understand the Bible. I remember the time I couldn't understand nothing. I had to get saved first. Nobody told me that. I just finally, once I trusted what happened, I started understanding some things. Do I understand everything? Absolutely not. I will, though, whenever I'm raptured out of here and I'm with the Lord forever, I'm going to just know so much it's unreal. But not now. Every day is a learning experience. But I want you to see, all these things are spiritually discerned. Back over now to Colossians chapter 2. If you have trusted this gospel of the grace of God, now I was thinking about it this morning before I come up here. You know, I ate lunch with a couple of guys this week, and one of them's a fellow I told you about the other day who, he believes that Christ died for his sins, was buried and resurrected for his justification, but he don't believe what the Bible says. He don't want to know anything else about what the Bible says except that. That's it. I know all I need to know. You don't believe all the stories that's written in the Bible. I think they're embellished a little bit. I think they're exaggerated. No, you ain't trusted the Lord. There's only one book that's true, and that's the King James Version of the Bible. So, and then the other guy that we were having lunch with was a graduate of PBI. And he knew quite a bit. But he didn't, because he gave me the Roman. First up, I said, are you saved? Yes. John 3:16. That's what he told me. He went to Ruckman's church, or not church, but his Bible school for 1 year. And he said, yeah, John 3:16. I'm going to tell you, man, ain't no salvation in John 3:16. You want to trust that? You're going to go to hell. I said, it's a true fact. After you find out the gospel of the grace of God, you can apply John 3:16. It makes sense. But there ain't no gospel in there where you can, well, we trust it. It's the blood of Jesus. I said, it ain't the blood of Jesus, but it is. This is the blood of Jesus, the gospel of the grace of God being applied. You know, the blood that Jesus spilled on that ground didn't save a soul. It's just like that in Exodus 12 when they cut that bullock's throat and they drained it in a basin. If they'd have left it in the basin, the whole nation of Israel would have died. They had to apply it, and the blood of Christ has to be applied right here. I hope you see that. Because the blood itself, by itself, killing Jesus Christ on the cross did not save a soul. He had to what? He had to be buried by the Scriptures. He had to be resurrected. And there had to be a reason God had it. To justify you. Just because the blood was spilled, don't get it done. Y'all see that, right? I hope so. To me, it's simple, but it is, and I'm glad you brought that up. It's the operation of God. We've got anything to do with it. Don't add to it. Don't take anything away from it. That's just the way it is. Back to Colossians chapter 2, if I've ever got there. So, verse 10. And you, that's plural, that word is. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. God did that operation of God. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all but one, the unpardonable sin. No! I talked to a guy yesterday, he's a good old Baptist boy. He said,
rated M for the short. You stayed with us for 14 years.
The Nazis ruled the world.
B.J. Blasco.
I thought I was a goner. And here you are.
Ready to set things straight, Wyatt.
was out in the weather. He was outlawed until God saved him, told him about this right here. He was the first one into the body of Christ. Now, let's look at this again. You're complete in Him. There's nothing missing, is there, that you need to do? As Dave said, don't add anything, don't take anything away. You can't help God save you. Everything that's been done is the only thing that's ever going to be done to save you. You either trust it or you don't. That's a fact. In whom you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. When Jesus Christ took your sins on Calvary that day and went into the heart of the earth, He took your sins and the sins of the world with Him. What happened? God circumcised him, not physically, his foreskin. They cut away those sins. And he was regenerated, which is born again. And he was renewed because the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, left him on Calvary. And the earth turned black. And then the earthquake at 3 o'clock. And he gave up the ghost. In Matthew chapter 27:50 and so forth. So, he had the Holy Spirit before he went into the center of the earth. But the Holy Spirit left him because it was sin that took its place. The Holy Spirit can't dwell with sin. God can't be and commune with sin. So the Holy Spirit had to leave. And he did. God turned his back on him. On his own son. He went in there and he was renewed with the Holy Ghost. You people, and I think I mentioned it last week, people want to apply this verse, Titus 3:5. They want to apply this to us. But you never had the Holy Spirit to begin with, to be renewed with it. Ever. You were born as a natural man, an enemy of God, so how can you be renewed with something you ain't never had? Just a thought. Now, like I said, Paul wrote the book of Colossians. Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter. So me, somehow that ain't... Even if you just simplistic, just look at the 13 books Paul wrote and the two that Peter wrote, there's just something that's lopsided there. You know, why would you pick Peter to be your apostle in the first place?
My personal belief is it's irrelevant. Because Paul was the one that was struck down on the road, not Peter. So I don't care how many books Peter wrote compared to Paul. I mean, that's my...
Well, yeah. I mean, that's good. Ain't no problem. Peter did not, does not... Now, he might now that he's in the ground. Because I'm going to tell you, in the hell, I'm not saying that's where he's at. I'm calling that the underworld. We'll talk about this in great depth, but not right now. Peter is conscious. His soul is conscious. The moment the spirit leaves the body, your soul. See, right now, you can hear. You can see. But, if, you know, Luke 16 tells you that that rich man looked across the gulf over there and he saw Father Abraham. So that soul was in there. And he saw. You can see with your eyes of your soul. Another story. But that's a fact. Now, Peter does not believe that all of his sins have been forgiven. Does he? No, he don't. Absolutely. He don't believe he's complete in Christ. Because of his writings, and you can tell that. Now, but Peter does believe, and we've mentioned this before, there's 8,000, we know, 8,012 people in the little flock. And we know there's a little bit more, but it's not numbered. But we know 8,012 is numbered. For a fact. And I'm going to show them to you shortly. I hope. Now, we know that people were added to at Pentecost. And that all those people, as I said before, are in Christ. Just not in the body. They are in Christ redemptively. You are in Christ positionally. You see the difference? You are in Christ positionally. Your position, when God looks down, as Dave said, when God looks down, He doesn't see you. He sees His Son, which is sinless. Your position is, and if you know what it said in 2 Corinthians, 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So he didn't impute, he didn't put a trespass on us. He reconciled the whole world unto himself. So, but your position, you're as righteous as God himself. Your position. How could you be a son of God according to Romans 8:14, 15, 16, right in there, if you weren't righteous as God? Because it's God's righteousness that's placed upon your account the moment you trust what Jesus Christ did for you. It's God's righteousness. That's not your righteousness. Your righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. Your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you believe that about your grandchildren and children? It's a true fact. Whether you believe it or not. You know, I've come to the point in my life, I'm going to tell people the truth. And if they don't believe it, that's their problem. It is. I'm not going to offend anybody personally. But if this offends somebody, so be it. They need to be offended to make a backup and say, well, that preacher, he sucks because he told me I was going to hell. Well, you're not going to hell because I say you're going to hell. You're going to hell because you failed to believe and trust the gospel of the grace of God that was provided to you by God Almighty Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. God is a spirit, according to John 4:24, and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Is that right? But in John, what, chapter 1, Jesus Christ was manifest to the nation Israel. Bodily, He appeared in the flesh. Can't get no better than that now, I'm going to tell you. But now, when does Peter believe that his salvation will be complete? He's not yet complete in Christ. Oh, yes. We're going to get there. But, you know, so does the Ethiopian eunuch. Oh, Acts chapter 8. Cornelius, the Roman centurion. Acts chapter 10. Right? Same with Peter. They know it's going to be at the second coming because of what Peter wrote. Now, the Ethiopian, I really want to go over this, and I hope I got enough time. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Where has he been? He's been to Jerusalem to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? He's on his way home. He's reading from a book. What book is he reading from? Isaiah 53. Holy Spirit tells Philip to go over there. Well, if you want to see who Philip is, you need to go. Don't do it right now. Just study this. Go over back over to Acts chapter 6, and you're going to see he was one of the seven that was appointed to minister unto the widows that the apostles wouldn't leave Jerusalem for to go help them. But they let the people over there, those widows and so forth, elect seven men. And Stephen was the first one that went out. He got stoned. And now you're talking about Philip. Philip. So Philip, he went over to the man. And go to Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, said unto Philip, go near and join myself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, the Ethiopian eunuch did, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. In other words, he asked Philip. So Philip starts with a man where he was reading and he preaches Jesus Christ to him. He shows that the eunuch in Isaiah 53, he says, is a prophecy of the Messiah. Philip believed this himself because he was one of the seven. And he shows him that Jesus is the one that Isaiah is referring to. Now, in verse 33, let's read it. This is talking about Jesus. Let me get over there. Acts 8. Acts 8. Well, I'm going to read verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, talking about Jesus, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. That's a direct reference to Isaiah 53, verse 7. And you don't have to go see it. But in his Jesus Christ, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And that's a reference to Isaiah 53, verse 8. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Even when Isaiah wrote that book, he didn't know who he was talking about. Nobody knew who he was talking about. Because you remember what First Corinthians? Maybe. Hold on right there. Since I brought it up, I got to go look it up for you. First Corinthians chapter 2. You don't have to go there. But he says in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It was kept a secret. It was hidden in God there. It was kept secret, not hidden, because it was in Isaiah 53, but nobody understood Isaiah 53. Now, Philip's explaining to this eunuch, hey, that's who Jesus Christ was talking about. I mean, that's who Isaiah was talking about. So Isaiah is in the Scriptures here. Philip starts reading to the man, which is a eunuch, and he preaches Jesus Christ to him. He shows that there's a prophecy about the Messiah, and he shows him that Jesus is the one that he needs to be listening to. In verse 33, in his humiliation, and I read that one. In verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Verse 35, Then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. He opened his mouth, started preaching where that eunuch had left off. In verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came into certain water, and the eunuch said, see there? Here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? What's keeping me from being baptized? Philip say to the eunuch, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Did he say that? No, he didn't. Did he tell the eunuch that Christ died for our sins? No, he didn't. Did he say, believe us in Acts 16:31, as Paul, the Philippian jailer, asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is that what Philip told the eunuch? No, it's not. Now, let's see what the eunuch believes. He believes exactly the exact same thing that the Apostle Peter did in Matthew 16. Let's go look at it. At Matthew 16:16. You're going to see this eunuch believe exactly the same thing. So what did Peter believe? Getting there myself. 16:16. It'll help you get to the right book. Now verse 15, he, Jesus Christ, saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? In verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter believed. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's all Peter believed. Ain't that something? Now, that's what the eunuch believed. Now, can you be saved by that today? Now, I know most everybody does, in the so-called, calls themselves Christians, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Wouldn't y'all have to agree with that? Most people believe that. If that's salvation, then the whole world almost going to be saved of Christendom. But that's not what you believe today to be saved. So they come to some water, and the eunuch says to Philip, he said, look, here's some water. What's keeping me from being baptized? What's keeping me, in other words, from being identified with my Messiah? Or the Messiah. It wasn't his Messiah at the time. The Messiah. After all, I fear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe all those things. I just come from Jerusalem, worshiping in Jerusalem. Well, you're going to see something here I don't know if you know. Did it ever occur to you why the eunuch hadn't heard about Jesus in Jerusalem? Do you know the answer? Anybody know the answer? Because he couldn't get into the temple. Did y'all know that? That's right. We're going to go there. The lame man. You remember that in Acts chapter 3 that Peter healed on the way into the temple? Had never ever set foot inside the temple. Why? Because he was lame. It's going to get better. The eunuch couldn't get in to hear Peter or anybody else. Because that's where Peter was at most of the time. Inside the temple. Now, if you remember in Acts chapter, I'm going to read it real quick. Hadn't planned on it, but let's do it. Acts chapter 8. It's when Paul or Saul went nuts. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles were still there in Jerusalem. Now, the eunuch had, it was one of two things. He was either castrated and his stones were removed, or he was born that way. But he was not whole, just like the lame man wasn't. Okay? You could not go. And I'm going to tell you something. This is why Jesus Christ went out and he healed everybody that came to him. They were looking for the kingdom, weren't they? It's everything's got to be perfect in there. There ain't no lames, no blinds, no hair lips, no nothing in there. It's just the way it is. And he didn't give power to his apostles to cast out devils and so forth, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, those kind of things. There was not in that thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, there is nothing but perfection to start off with. Now, a person who is not whole cannot go into the temple. I don't care if you're a Jew. Now, no man with a blemish, even with a crooked nose, can go in. So the eunuch says, what's to keep me from being baptized? Go over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Because somebody might not believe that. Verse 1. Somebody already there? How about reading it? Keep making that go ahead.
He that is wounded in the stones and hath his privy member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord.
Is that pretty clear? Well, somebody had to do it. They're glad it wasn't me. You can look at Leviticus 21:20 too, somebody. Gifts that nature gives us. Yeah, this is more or less speaking to the priest, but still.
Those are just facts. I'm just saying facts with my face right now. But you got to eat the peanut to pick up what I'm laying down. Look under your seats. Oh, look, a gift from nature.
It tastes good.
Oh, you like that? Let's get wholesome up in here. Boom! Make it rain, Doug.
120.
You shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and drunkard.
That's Leviticus 21:20.
Oh, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with reading it. It didn't sound like what I remembered.
Okay, no man that had a blemish of the seed of Aaron, a priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God.
Okay. Imperfection is not accepted by God. That's why you are perfect. You are complete in Christ. You're accepted by God Almighty right now because you're in the body of Christ. Perfection. You're perfect. Boy, some of us don't look like it. I don't have enough hair, so I don't look perfect. George has got too much. A little boy straightened him out one day, though. He'll pull it all out. But you see what I'm saying? There's reasons why the eunuch just didn't know about things like this and other people. Now, go to Acts chapter 8, verse 37, if you would. Because the eunuch kept asking, what's keeping me from being baptized? I want you to remember now, Matthew 16, 16. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter believed. But in Acts 8, 37, what did the eunuch believe? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, this is what he believed with all his heart, the eunuch. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all he believed. Did he believe that his sins were forgiven? No way. No way. He does not know that Christ died for his sins. He was not told to believe that Christ died for his sins. Why? Because Philip don't know that Christ died for his sins. Ha! So how can he preach it if he don't know it? But what? The eunuch receives remission of sins. Depending on, there's a dependence here on enduring to the end of Matthew 24, 13 Mark 13, 13. Endured to the end. Ananias and Sapphira didn't, did they? God killed them on the spot. You're not secure in Christ in the little flock until you've endured until the end of your life or until the end of the tribulation. Then you're secure. All those people are dead, so dead men can't sin. They're all going to be saved that endured to the end of their life. Sure. Now, Peter doesn't believe that he's saved. Did y'all know that? Peter doesn't believe he's saved. He believes that he shall be saved. That's the key. We're going to look at it now. And he says, so go to Acts chapter 15. I know we're right on the nose of 12 o'clock. Just bear with me. If you got to get up and run, I go. Acts chapter 15, verse 10. Peter said this, didn't he? Now, therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? He was talking about Paul and his bunch. Where neither our fathers nor we were able to bear that yoke back under bondage of the law and ordinances and stuff. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus, what does it say? We shall be, not that we are. We shall be saved, even as they. So, I know 8,000 people received remission of sins in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to show it to you and then we're going to quit. Go over to Acts chapter 2. I've got 6 verses here. I've been bear with it. This is at the day of Pentecost now. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. The day of Pentecost. Nobody, no church was started here. It was added to. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, talking about Peter, were baptized, identified with the nation of Israel and their Messiah. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, it doesn't give us a number there. But we know there's... how many first? We just read in 41? 3,000. And then some others that should be added daily. Go over to Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Just straight on down there. I think. What have I got here on my reference? That's not right. I probably put the wrong reference in here. 4. Go over to chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word, what Peter was preaching, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, were believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. So we know 8,000 people plus the 12 apostles. We're not talking about Judas. Judas, he's the son of perdition. And that's where he went. So the fact of it is, we know there's 8,012 plus some others that was not numbered there. Go over to chapter 5. Come on, separate page. Now, verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. If you'll notice, in the previous reference, it just said men. Those 5,000, it said men. But now this says men and women. Is there a difference? I do believe there is. That's what it says. I take the Bible literally as it says. In the previous reference that we used, it was men. This says men and women. But however you want to look at that, that's what you want to do. But now look. The eunuch received the remission of sins in Acts chapter 8. Go over there and look. Acts chapter 8, starting verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He's talking about being baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Listen. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him in the water. I don't care if he sprinkled him. I don't care if he submerged him. I don't care what he did. It was with water. It was an identification that Jesus is the Son of God, my King, and I'm looking forward to the kingdom that's coming. That's what it's about. Now we're going to get next week, well, when I come back, we're going to be talking about Cornelius, the Roman centurion, who received his same message that the eunuch got, and he received remission of sins in Acts chapter 10. So let's start there next week. You got any questions, comments, or whatever?